Welcome back to Who Booked This? I'm Stephen Graham.
And I'm J.R. Goldberg. Sorry, I dropped my cue there. Great start.
I think you're always late on that.
Am I always late?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'll try and tighten it up. That's fine. That's a good goal for the next week.
Well, it is our 10th episode.
You know, 11th time's the charm, right?
Yeah. Well, 10th one that we recorded, but the 9th one that's going out.
Yeah, that's all right. If you only lose 10% of your podcasts, you're doing something right.
That's right. It was a weird loss, too, because it recorded you perfectly, but didn't record me.
Oh, well, you could have just like filtered it in later. You could have played mine and then just responded to it.
Oh, no, that's re-edit. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. You could have made yourself sound very, very smart
or very dumb. Depending on how I wanted to do it. So we are here to do another requested match. I want to remind people that if they want to send in their request, they can hit us up on Twitter. I should start a Who Booked This Twitter.
Yeah, sure.
So maybe by the time you hear this, there'll be a Who Booked This Twitter at something. Maybe not. but you can also hit us on Pro Wrestling Only. The message board section as of July 1st, because...
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Congrats to Loss for starting something really cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. And everyone, we'll say that's today's sponsor. Pro Wrestling Only. As of July 1st, go there for all your match reviews and suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't talked to Loss about this, but I mean, I guess I just sort of assumed, I mean, I'm planning on moving all my writing and stuff over there to help him out, you know?
Well, look forward to that. Lots of L.A. Park doing every major show in Mexico talk.
God, yeah. L.A. Park, what? So, all right, I don't generally like to, you know, like talk about Twitter drama or stuff. We have a lot to go over today. But like I asked Dave, and this is right before the Triple Mania announcement. I kind of want to ask him again, but I legitimately asked Meltzer, like a non-loaded question. And I said to Meltzer, you know, with Park main eventing Anniversario and like clearly creating like draws and gates and buzz in CMLL, where the Arena Mexico shows went from like 3,000 people to 10,000 people literally overnight. I said, you know, Dave, isn't this a good case for LA Park to get some consideration for Thez Flair? And Dave literally responded. Oh, well, he didn't respond. He quote tweeted me and was basically like, no, everyone is too good this year.
Everyone is too good?
Well, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he basically was like, there's so many other great candidates that no.
But no, and, now you add Triple Mania main event.
Now you add Triple Mania. I think that you cannot ignore LA Park. If you vote for like Cody Rhodes over LA,
oh my god, don't vote for Cody Rhodes.
I don't even know what you're doing.
I saw him live like a month ago, and Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
I almost saw LA Park last year, but I was running late and I didn't expect him to show, so I just didn't go. But he actually showed up. So
I have seen LA Park twice.
Oh boy.
And in 100% of those matches, he wrestled Dr. Wagner.
Well, that's a great match, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Cody Rhodes. I don't remember who it was against, and I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah. That's the name of Cody Rhodes' memoir.
I liked him in WWE, though. I liked his Goldust tag a lot. I liked when he was Dr. Doom.
Yeah, the dashing stuff was cool, where he was like this weird American Psycho Dr. Doom combo.
He had a Rey Mysterio feud. That was cool.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
Oh, well, let's talk about something that's awesome, because...
Yeah, let's talk about how...
this was...
Who forced us to watch this, by the way?
This was Jimmy Redman, Stacy from on Pro Wrestling Only, who... you know, big supporter of women's wrestling, and as am I. And I gotta say, when I first watched it, I was like a goffed and a little mad and annoyed. But sitting on it on a day, I've come around.
So in the spirit of this podcast, I feel like I also have some positive things to say.
Yeah. And I have some questions, but before that,
I have many questions. Should we actually say what match we're watching? I guess.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. This is the TNA Lockbox Challenge.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. So the rules are simple. Christy Hemme tells us. Okay. The rules are simple. It's an 8 knockout elimination tag match.
Okay.
When you, whenever there's a pin or a submission, both the people are eliminated.
Yep.
The winner gets a key to a lockbox and the loser gets nothing, as it should be.
Yep.
Yep. All right. So later on, there's the 4 keys, there's 4 lockboxes, and there's high stakes.
Mm-hmm.
So in one of the lockboxes is Tara's spider.
Poison.
Poison the spider.
Yeah. Poison the spider.
Another one is a contract for a match of their choice against anyone.
Against anyone. Literally. So I have questions about that too.
Yeah, we'll get to it because,
okay.
Boy. Yeah. And then another one, it says striptease later on, but when Christy Hemme says it, it's they have to strip to their bra and panties and walk around. And finally, the TNA Knockouts title. So.
Yeah. Last but not least.
So I have this is my first question.
Okay.
So Tara is in this.
Yes.
Her spider and her title are both up for grabs.
Both up for grabs.
So. Yeah. I guess.
She's automatically screwed, right?
Yeah, but okay. There must have been a storyline where her spider was missing or stolen or something, and she didn't have possession of it.
I believe that is the case. And then they also say at one point on commentary that the beautiful people at some point maybe cut promo or something or said off camera, and Mike Tenay was just referencing it, that they also want the spider because they want to kill it.
Okay, there's actually a promo. They walk up on Christy Hemme after she explains the simple rules.
Ah, okay.
And first, they call her a giant woman or a tall woman or big woman or something.
Okay.
To Christy Hemme?
Yeah, she's not particularly big.
No. It was very bizarre. I must have misheard that because that can't be right.
Christy Hemme, by the way, and I don't want to body shame people or anything, but we're midway through Christy Hemme having some really unfortunate plastic surgery done at watching this. It's sort of bizarre what she looked like in this scenario.
She was my dream for a while.
Was she?
Yeah.
She was very attractive during the Divas search, and I actually thought quite charming.
Yeah,
you know?
She was. She tried hard. She really wanted to learn stuff.
Yeah, totally. 100%. I mean, it's she kept working in wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
Clearly
she good did. For her. And now she's had quadruplets or something.
Yeah. She's living her dream. Good for Christy Hemme. Yeah. You know.
So we get this promo by the beautiful people. Which is Lacey Von Erich, the daughter of Kevin?
I think the daughter of Carrie.
Of Carrie, okay. Velvet Sky and Madison Rayne. And they said they are going to get 3 of the 4 lockboxes. First, they're going to get the spider.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't think they say kill. I think they just say, get rid of it.
Okay.
Then they're going to get the title. Then they're going to get the match of their choice.
Uh-huh.
And then Lacey Von Erich comes out of nowhere and says she's excited because she's going to strip. So... something doesn't add up because that's 4 for 3 people. So,
that's I have no response to that. That is 4 for 3 people.
Yeah.
So I am not up to date on my TNA booking timeline, but I legitimately want to ask who did book this? Who's in charge of TNA at this point?
All I know is when I turn on this episode, it started with Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair
And Bischoff is there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Championing War Games teams. And Flair has Sting on his team. And Hogan has like Abyss doing a Hogan gimmick. So
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think Hogan Bischoff and Bischoff were in charge.
Yeah. Okay.
But
fair enough.
Maybe Bruce Pritchard was there. I don't know.
But
yeah, this led me to my original question. We got a little sidetracked here with Tara, who she had to put up everything in this match, really. And I've often wondered this, especially when they started doing the authority figure thing.
Yeah.
How does wrestling work? In UFC, that's a great question. Right?
Yeah.
If they're going to have a match, they both have to agree to it. In boxing, you both have to agree to it.
Yes.
In wrestling, whoever's in charge just makes the rules and you have to follow or fired?
That does seem like the case here. And we'll get to some gross, gross stuff later they really put that up. I guess my counterpoint to that is that, within the conceit of professional wrestling and then actually in boxing and I assume MMA as well, I don't know, there are mandatory challenges, right? So, I'm sure Tara could have refused to participate, but then...
I guess the title was going to be up in a lockbox regardless of if she participated.
Right.
So
yeah.
She didn't get it in her spider was too for some reason.
Sure.
Okay, let's okay.
Yeah.
You're TNA's matchmaker.
I got to get in that headspace.
Yeah, okay. And you've decided everything here and you're just now picking what goes in the lockboxes. Regardless of the other weird rules early on. But okay.
I mean, honestly, if I'm in charge of TNA,
yeah.
I may have a lockbox challenge to determine what is in the lockboxes for this lockbox challenge.
Oh, boy.
Right? Yeah. Just go super meta,
And this leads me to another question. So they – I know Russo did something with boxes in WCW, and TNA had their Feast or Fired one.
Yeah.
Where it was like
– which is basically this match too, right?
Yeah.
But with poles? Are there poles involved?
I think that one probably had poles, yeah. But in that one, so each of the box had a title, and the other box had you're fired. So you got a 3/4 of a chance of getting a title and a 1/4 chance of being fired.
Those are pretty good odds, actually.
That's not bad, right?
Yeah.
In this one,
yeah, you have a 25%
title. There's one match you can make for anything, so that's essentially like a title.
That's a title shot.
Yeah, one spider, It looks like only two people want.
Right.
And the other one where you have to strip, which I guess the beautiful people are okay with. So
no, because they were upset later, when they didn't want to strip, right? So only one person wanted to strip.
Okay, so only one person. So it's a very, the risk and reward is very confusing here.
I mean, it's terrible. You're right.
Let's not talk about how disgusting it is that you have to strip or be fired.
I wrote a note and I sort of made a joke about it because otherwise, I don't know what I would say. But, I did not expect to watch this match and discover that it was a secretly metaphor for professional wrestling being akin to forced sex labor,
Yeah.
Jeremy Borat, So, spoiler alert, I guess. I mean, Daphne, quote unquote, wins the striptease, and she clearly does not want to participate. And Jeremy Borash stops her and is like, whoa, 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 you signed the contract. If you don't strip, I've been told you will be fired. And then she, slowly and against her will, walks to the ring and starts to, really uncomfortably take off, minimal amounts of clothing. And, that is legitimately, a setup for, gross, fake reality porno. It is terrible.
It is very uncomfortable.
Super uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of uncomfortable, after they set up the match, Taz says, if you like knockouts and you like boxes,
yep,
turn in next after the break. Yeah.
I mean, who would have guessed that a company called TNA would also be a big fan of box puns?
Oh, my gosh. So the match is...
Also, Cody B refers to her box in her promo later. She literally says, like, I don't want the title, but my box is going after that contract so I can get AJ's booty.
Yeah, that's good. Which...
Yeah, I mean, like, and like, good for ODB saying that she wants to fight AJ Styles. I mean, she's thinking,
she's thinking huge,
outside the box.
Oh, you got that. I was trying to set myself up for a joke on that later, but you got that. You got the outside the box joke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, yeah, that's going for the world title. That's smart. That's smart. And you know what stipulation I would do?
What's that?
World champion wears a straight jacket.
Yeah.
And
why not?
I don't. World
yeah,
title
they
match.
Really not specify how open this contract is.
Yeah.
Like, can you bring someone in from outside TNA? Like, could ODB be like, I want to fight Super Porky?
Ooh. That would have been great.
That would have been great. Like, yeah. Legitimately great. I have a few things about this that I want to talk about.
Do you have anything more about any of the promos? Because I have one more kind of thought on that before we get to the match.
Yeah, you go. Maybe I'll riff on it.
The only other thing was, like, as sexist and misogynist as parts of this was, let's not forget about racism. Because
Hamada
cut the promo in Japanese. Like you would being Japanese. And Tanae and Taz just like laugh and insult her, saying her promo wasn't good and her English was awful.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And they keep going back to it. Like they mentioned her promo during the match. Like it is not great.
No.
So, all right. I have a couple questions about the match, and like, I mean, I don't want to put too much thought because no one else did, but why? All right, so we have a running theme basically for this show, because I swear to God half the episodes we've done have had some variation on a team-based match where something for one person was up for grabs.
It does happen. Like,
Russo's Revenge had this. I mean, the Elimination Chamber.
The House Death Match.
What's that?
The House Death Match.
Yeah, the House Death Match. I mean, and this, like, there are teams, but there is a singles title up for grabs. Like, what is people's obsession with teams? Because this match legitimately would have worked way better if there weren't teams at all. And it would have been way more narratively interesting if people who are nominally aligned, like the Beautiful People, could have potentially pinned them each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And gotten a lockbox, but then been hoisted by their own petard, been like, you know, punished by karma. Like, oh, you pinned your friend, but you got the spider, you know, it serves you right, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's sort of interesting as opposed to this, which is just like, I don't know, they're in teams. Who cares? It's a survival.
I don't remember. Was there a tag or was it just four singles matches?
There were no tags in this match. It was like the world's worst Cybernetico.
But like a Cybernetico, when you won, you got kicked out too.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say, like, people winning a bet match and then leaving, like, that happens in Lucha all the time. So I have no problem with that, you know? One of the greatest matches of all time, when you get a win, a pinfall, right, in the El Dandy Casas Santo match, right? You get a pinfall and then you leave.
Yeah.
So this is the same. This is basically Lucha.
Yeah, basically a Lucha match.
Basically Lucha.
There was a moonsault.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot about the match.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Lacey Von Erich's moonsault? Landing on her feet and then doing an elbow drop.
And missing the elbow drop too?
Yes.
All right. We can talk about that. I just want to say that if Will Ospreay or Ricochet did that, people would lose their shit. People would be like, that's a great spot.
I would not deny that. And it's actually cool in theory, but like, I don't think she was trying to land on her feet for the moonsault.
I'm not sure what she was trying to do, but what she did was theoretically a good move. I mean, an impressively physical move, even though it's a moronic move. I don't even like Almas's double moonsault.
Yeah. So it's pretty clear to whoever's running this that the match is not important. And they tell us this because one of the eliminations happens during the break.
Right.
And so they don't show it.
That is true. But before that, I think it's more important to say, so the match starts, we get a pinfall within like 45 seconds, then they immediately cut to commercial, and then by the time we're back, there's been another elimination.
And Hamada gone.
Yeah. So, like, I know we complain about wrestling, and not you and I specifically, but people in general complain about wrestling. Remember, this match is, what, 8 years ago or something like that, probably? Yep. 6 or 8 years ago? When did this match happen?
Oh, you're really asking me to...
Yeah, I'm asking a lot. Yeah, sorry.
Let's see, I got it right here. It was... Oh, it depends. It was 10-4-5. So I don't know if that's 2005, I guess. Or is it April 10th, 2005?
Maybe. All right. Well, that's longer ago. But like, remember when all women's wrestling was like this?
This basically? Couldn't have been 2005. They were good in 2005. This is April 5th, 2010.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. Yeah, Hogan wasn't in TNA in 2005.
No, because I was watching then and... Yeah, it was good.
This is 2010, so 8 years ago. Like, 8 years ago is not all that long ago, and literally 8 years ago, all women's wrestling.
But like...
Or I should say, all televised American women's wrestling.
What's so shocking about this, really, is... Yeah. So this was 8 years ago, and look at this. 10 years ago? That was TNA's... That was the star of their show. The knockout.
Yeah, it was like the Gail Kim.
Yeah, Gail Kim, Awesome Kong. Yeah. Like, that was great shit. They had, like, Mischief.
Yeah.
So, the downfall in 2 years is startling.
Well, you know, you gotta make room for Hogan, right?
Yeah. I don't even know. Very odd. Very odd stuff. But the match isn't important here.
No, really, the match is not important. I mean, I still have more to say about the actual sort of like prize structure and thing.
Oh, let's get into this.
Yeah. So one, first of all, I'd just like to say that you could make this match one of the most enjoyable gimmicks of all time if the lockbox challenge was actually a shoot. Like, if they had no idea who was going to get what, like, that would have made it really, really enjoyable. But, you know, like, Hamada wins the striptease, you know, ODB wins the spider. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Like, I would have enjoyed that, you know?
Or if they, like, just made the rewards more rewarding?
Yeah, so that's my big thing. And this is what I want to talk about. And I don't want to sound like, when I was thinking this and putting my notes together, I sort of laughed at myself because I don't want to sound like a weird theater kid or something like that. But like, this match would have been actively fine if all of the things that were up for grabs were things that it was clear people wanted. You know, like, aside from Tara, who wants the title and or her spider, and Lacey, who wants to strip, I guess, like, which she could do anyway, right? I mean, you know, people have
no, like, no, yeah. You need the briefcase that says striptease for you to do a strip.
ECW arena of her own volition, okay, Steve?
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Yeah, but like, no one wants these other things. They're just sort of there. Like,
here's how you fix this.
All right.
So you have the 8 people, right?
Yeah, it's got 8 people.
They each pick what they would want as their reward.
Yeah.
And then the four people that get pins, those are the four rewards. And then you pull them out of the hat or whatever you do.
Sure. Yeah. And you get, you know, randomized or something like that.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Like, I don't even really mind the idea that, like, I think actually it's strange, but I think Poison the Spider in this match is the most interesting narrative thing here, because there are two different sides that want her for two vastly different reasons. And that's really interesting. You know, like, one side wants to kill it and one side wants to save it, you know?
But here's the thing that, like, blew my mind when I was watching this, right?
Sure.
So they go on about how the beautiful people want the spider, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So if you ever dare to rewatch this.
Okay.
So they run down the prizes, right? They go.
Yep.
They go, the title, the open contract, the striptease. When they say the spider, Velvet Sky's reaction is really pissed off. Like, she's disgusted that the spider is an option to win.
Right.
So she doesn't want it.
You're right. Like, there's a lot that's going on in this.
Yes.
And I really don't even know where to start. I know why this was done. What's that?
I know why this was done.
Enlighten me.
Either Jeremy Borash or somebody loves The Price is Right.
Oh, that's a good... All right, that's fair. Yeah, I could see that.
Like, this is so The Price is Right. They have the podiums. They're saying the prize. They say, come on down. They do all this shit. It's this is The Price is Right. I think Jeremy Borash was living his dream.
All right. So interesting corollary to that, I guess. And, you know, we may be able to look it up, corroborate this. So TNA long has a history of just blatantly copying things in the WWE. How soon after Bob Barker guest hosting Raw was this match?
That's a good question.
My thing. And, like, while you look that up, I guess I'll just talk. I love and accept the fact that wrestling, when it's best, is a variety show. But I will never understand the whole.
9 months later.
9 months later. That's probably pretty. That's for wrestling time. That's basically the next day. I will never understand the whole, like, striptease TNA aspect of wrestling. Like, porn exists, everyone. Like, you can watch it on the same device that you probably watch this.
You can even in 2010. The like, yeah, I think maybe the Attitude Era, like, obviously it's stupid. It's awful. Yeah,
the Attitude Era, the horniest and dumbest of all wrestling.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
But, like, how good was the internet in 1999?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're going on, like, you know, your dial-up AOL, like, I understand why, like, maybe seeing, you know, Wilton Ride Around was, like, way cool or something. But, like,
it's unwatchable now, though, that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's unwatchable. I'll tell a story. And forgive me if I've told this to you before, or if I've even told it on the air before, I don't know. But, like, when I was in high school, when the Attitude Era was happening, this girl, Lillian, would record all the pay-per-views from her dad's illegal cable. And then we would watch them after school together. Anyone was welcome. It was like a club, basically, that you could just come. And, generally, by and large, the day after the pay-per-view, I think we would do it Tuesday. Like, you would record it, you know, we would watch Raw on Monday and then we'd watch it. Would watch the pay-per-view and there would be like four or five dedicated, like, wrestling nerds there, basically people who watched everything except for the pay-per-view where Stacy Carter, showed her breasts after, you know, in that, like, mud fight or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
In which, like, literally, like, 75 18-year-old kids showed up to watch. And then as soon as it happened, they all left. And we watched the rest of that pay-per-view with the normal, like, four-person. So maybe I am in the minority as to, like, why, you know, people like this thing. It is, like, it is mind-boggling to me that it is
so popular. It was uncomfortable at the time, even.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Yeah.
It was, like, it was so degrading. But,
yeah.
Anyways, we're obviously not past that, but we're in a lot better state. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess it's sort of interesting that we're reviewing this, I guess, for lack of a better term, the day after Charlotte and Stephanie had that sort of minor controversy where Stephanie said it was no longer a male dominated industry.
Yeah,
like because on the one hand, like, it has come a long way in a short period of time. But on the other hand, if Vince McMahon tomorrow decided that he wanted to do a match where, you know, Asuka and Charlotte had to strip tease if they lost, they would 100% do it right now. You know, like,
well, plus how many women commentators are there? How many women referees are there? How many women road agents are there? How many women like writers are there?
Exactly.
It's not a woman dominated business.
No, that's a preposterous thing to say. Yeah. I mean,
but at least so, I'm paying $4.99 a month to watch the weekly Rise TV shows, which are pretty good.
Oh, there you go. That's very good. Yeah. There's a lot of great women's wrestling out there, you know, and even, I don't watch TNA now, you know, but like, it seems like they're currently invested in their women performers in a way that they haven't been for a while. And, you know, Allie is very good. And
Side note, have you seen Allie and Rosemary's new YouTube series?
I watched one where they were at Disneyland. Is that right?
That was before. They just released the first episode.
Okay.
And it's Demon Bunny. And it's basically Allie talked to the gods or the shadows or whatever, and now she's going to teach Rosemary how to be a human, and she's all excited. It's pretty good. You should go.
That sounds awesome.
Out. Yeah.
They clearly have a lot of fun.
They do.
You know, but like with those two and like Sue Young, who, you know, is a limited performer, but is very interesting. Like, I mean, they clearly have something that they can build
and
on.
Gail Kim's more the like road agent.
Yeah, it's great. Good. There's a lot going on. We could talk. I don't want to talk too much. I mean, there's nothing interesting about this match, actually, right? Like, there's no memorable spots or anything.
No, it's all about the weird booking all around it and kind of the revealing of the lockboxes. And the one thing we haven't talked about, the fucking title changes hands by opening a box.
Yeah, in a match where the reigning champion won.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
One good aspect I liked here. Like, so the reveals were actually, like, well acted and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
can we talk about Jeremy Borash right before the reveals saying, these items have been placed strategically in these boxes completely at random?
And they look so corny in the boxes too. Like the title in a box is just ridiculous. But like, so Velvet Sky wins an open contract. She's excited. Tara wins her spider. She gets really excited at first, but then she realizes, wait, that means I don't have my title, and gets pissed off. That's pretty good.
Yep. Yeah.
Angelina Love wins the title. She's very excited. And then Daphne gets the striptease and she's very pissed off. So at least, you know, normal reactions. I can't believe we talked for 35 minutes about this.
Can we talk about how this closed the show? This was the
It closed the show, which opened with Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, which had our Rob Van Dam match, and had a fucking ladder match between Mr. Kennedy and Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Oh, there's a great moment in this match where just imagine you're watching this live, right? And you're watching this match happen, which is not very good. And then they go to their like second commercial break within 4 minutes, right? And the tease is Mike Tenay saying, you know, don't go anywhere. There's a Ken Anderson match next.
A ladder match.
A ladder match with Ken Anderson. I mean, jeez. What fire. Oh,
I know.
Another weird thing about this was, so we have a new champion, but all the focus is not on the champion at all. It's on Daphne.
It is on Daphne having to strip. And then eventually on Lacey Von Erich,
who
knocks Daphne out and then starts to strip.
Which brings out Angelina Love.
Yeah.
I forget what she does or why.
Yeah, who knows?
But that brings out Velvet Sky, who cashes in her open contract. And she cashes it in for a title shot? No. For a revenge grudge match against Angelina Love? No. A leather and lace match. Where she'll bring the leather and Angelina Love will bring the lace?
That does, yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ. What is going on?
This is ridiculous.
This is like 100%. Like I can literally imagine Eric Bischoff pitching this, and like in like I have such a clear mental image of them booking this segment. Bischoff, because like smile.
The other thing I just want to do is I want to chastise Mike Tenay and Taz for their disgusting commentary. They keep saying "zombie hot" about Daphne. Mike Tenay or Taz is like, oh, it's not her style to do stripping. And Tenay is like, it's almost like it pains her. No fucking shit, Tenay. She is forced to strip in public in front of, well, it's TNA, like 500 people? Like,
yeah, probably 1,000 people.
Like, of course it pains her. Like, this.
The only commentary line that Taz said that I thought was great was, there's a point in the match where ODB, who's a complete afterthought at this match, does a kip up, right?
Yeah.
And Taz just says flat out, he goes, kip up, bloomers sticking out. There is all sorts of stuff going on with ODB. Which is like, that's actually a great line. Like, I can hear Heenan saying that, you know, just like totally understated.
Yeah. So this was very fascinating to look at. Like, I don't think I liked it. It offended me
deeply.
this is
not the worst match we've watched. It is not the most it's not the dumbest match we've watched. It's not the most listless match we watched. Like, everyone in this match, I think, has a good understanding of who they are as a performer, and like, you know, for a match that's what, 6 minutes and has four eliminations, like they all worked as hard as they could. But like, this is the most offensive match we've watched.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy. But it was fascinating to watch, like, where women's wrestling has gone in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah.
I forgot to bring this point up earlier. So
would you say, I'll ask this question.
Okay.
Would you say, of all the matches that we've watched for this show so far, this is by far the one I would be most embarrassed if a non-wrestling fan friend walked in on me?
Yes, easily.
Yeah.
Easily,
right? Like, no, it lapped the field in that regard.
Like, maybe during the match it'd be fine, but once they got to, like, the stipulations or the reveals and shit, no.
But not even during the match, because, like, at any point during this match,
well, if you had the camera work off.
Yeah, like, would have just, you know, just been a panty shot, you know?
That's true, too, yeah. But, yeah, the other point I wanted to make, I kind of forgot, was Christy Hemme said the rules were simple and then talked for 10 minutes explaining the rules. And then before the match, Tenay went over the rules again, and they wrote them on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing all that, it's not simple.
Both make jokes about how the rules are so Byzantine that Hamada's promo in Japanese was just as clear as the rules to the match. So it's not simple at all.
This was something.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah, it was lunacy, really. Like,
yeah, this is wrestling.
Wrestling gone wild.
I have to say, yeah, wrestling gone wild is a pretty good way to put it, actually. I will say, like, for this match, I feel like I'm pretty consistent in saying this. Like, at least there's some ambition in what they're trying to do. Like, I understood the lockbox challenge as a gimmick. I think it was poorly implemented, and I think that it was done in a way where it narratively, like, didn't add much to the match, but, like, I could see when they were pitching it that it's the start of a good idea. It's like a rough draft that shows promise, you know?
This is a theater play where the actors are all solid and they really get their characters and they really want to try. But an insane madman has come and dropped this script that makes no sense on them.
Right. Yeah. And they only had 3 days of rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, the end of the play was
decided. Yeah. But, like, they set up a match for next week.
Yeah. Jesus, God. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about TNA. Like, this match up in the history of TNA doesn't even stand out as, like, that much dumber than a lot of other stuff they've done.
Yeah. There's reverse bout. It's not even the dumbest box match they've done.
When you have that promotion, by the way, has outlasted WCW
and ECW combined.
And ECW. We're getting to the point where it may outlast both of them combined soon.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. We are, like, oh my god.
Aren't we? Yeah.
I don't even want to.
It's gotta be close.
Yeah. That's wow. Apparently it's good now, though.
You know, people always say that. I won't be fooled again.
I like Don Callis, maybe, sometimes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
He seems like smart. Like,
yeah.
He left.
You know, I mean, I'll give TNA credit for a few things throughout its history. One, they have given a lot of good performers, you know, time to have matches, even though they're not decent, you know, a lot of the time. But, you know, Joe and AJ Styles and Chris Daniels, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, like, there have been some good matches that have come out of TNA, just, you know, allowing people to fill time, you know.
There is a great Jeff Jarrett Kurt Angle match.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll have to seek that out.
It's awesome.
You Triple A champion Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I'll say about TNA is that at various points throughout their history, and I can't do it now, I have really liked the way that they have filmed their wrestling program, and that it clearly looks like it's filmed in a different style than WWE, and there's so much wrestling that just, like, looks the same. I appreciate when wrestling goes out of the way to look. And I, you know, I like that TNA has tried something, you know, like that.
Even today, like, I mentioned watching the Rise stuff, like, Impact's helping them. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 weeks, they had these amazing video packages, like, just focusing on different wrestlers. And they said, you know, oh, thank you, Impact, for filming these and helping produce them. Like, they're doing a hell of a job. They're different. They're shot differently. Like you said, it's really cool. But they try different things sometimes. There's been periods where they haven't, and they just tried to.
I will never punish anyone on this podcast for ambition.
No, no.
Wrestling needs ambition, you know. Wrestling, and it's interesting because a performer that both you and I don't particularly care for, in Shawn Michaels, he's a great example of how ambition can end up hurting professional wrestling in some way, like for specific professional wrestling matches where they bite off more than they can chew.
You fall on your own something?
You know,
what's that saying?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's it just becomes melodramatic, right? But like, I will never punish bookers or, you know, people creatively or even wrestlers when they're laying out a match for trying to do something that is inherently different than what has been done before. Because we know what wrestling can do when it's done well. You know, when you have great performers and, you know, you can reuse storylines that have been done successfully in the past, you know, but when you can't push anything forward, you know, with limited people without thinking outside the box. And I'm glad that TNA had various.
In a very gross way. I'll make one note on that. I do not give Vince Russo any credit for anything he's ever done. So
no, that's fair. Okay, that's totally fair.
Like, when your ambition is let's do a War Games but have the baby faces win the coin toss because it's never been done before, that's not ambition. That's just stupidity.
And there's also, I mean, his stuff isn't interesting or new in any way. It's like, oh, we'll do this, and then there'll be a twist. He's just the M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah.
I liked Eric Bischoff's podcast where he was talking about Russo, and he had a way of shutting down Russo every time he came to him. So Russo would come up and say all this stuff, and Bischoff go, and then what would happen? And Russo would go silent and have nothing. Because he never thought more than that day, right?
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah, I like that.
That's.
Yeah, we've talked way too long about this 5-minute match and this. Disgusting.
Yeah, I was sort of worried that we wouldn't be able to say a lot about this when I started watching it, but it turns out when you have like a gross, leery sex match, then you know we have stuff.
But that does not mean we want other requests for it.
No, yeah, I don't want to do anything like this.
No, this was our one and only.
Yeah,
unless you guys give us money, give us money.
Do women's wrestling.
So let's see. Next week, what are we gonna do?
Next week.
Oh, a special K from Pro Wrestling Only suggests that we do Giant vs. Hogan. Sumo Monster Truck Challenge and subsequent match from 1995. And he said, please. Boy. So
we'll have to do it if someone says please.
Yeah. So we'll be back next Monday with that match.